Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the last 25 minutes of the show today. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
What did you do this weekend, Steve? Anything
My wife special? And I went on Friday to Birmingham, Alabama, and we saw a traveling version of a touring version of Les Miserables, Broadway musical. And I mean to tell you that is my favorite Broadway musical. I saw it the first time I ever saw it. It was like 1997 or 98 on Broadway in New York, and it floored me. And this Friday. No less inspiring this was. Such a great story.
You know what?
Good music.
I will also say this. people have become so used to seeing things on screens.
Uh-huh.
About 25, 30 years ago, some friends of ours took us to see in Jackson. So it was before I came here. So this is probably 32 years ago here at AFA. And we went to see a play in Jackson, Dinner Theater. Jackson, Mississippi. And, man, that was fun. When you see, if it's done well and you have good actors and, you know, good, you know, producers and set designers, going to see a play, and I'm not saying that's even in the same league of what you're talking about, it is such a totally different experience. It is so much fun.
Oh, it
to
is.
To go see something like that. It's not on a screen.
And this is fun, but the sets, they're like three-story sets that appear out of nowhere. They just slide on, and all of a sudden you're in a town square, and they slide on another one. You're in the backyard of another house. And
yeah.
I mean, it's just like
so it's amazing. A traveling – it's a Broadway play that's on in New York City.
It's not on in New York City anymore. What
okay,
they do is they use
traveling.
Yeah, what the producers do is they do their New York City stint for as long as it runs, and this one ran forever. And then they put a touring cast and a version together, and they go around and do. This was a huge theater in Birmingham.
Was this the play about the French Revolution?
It was set in the French Revolution, yes. It was about a prison convict. It's a play about justice versus grace.
Race, yeah.
And the star, the hero of this thing is a prisoner who, during the French Revolution, he got released from prison but given a yellow slip, which means he's a convict and he'll always be in conflict. He was under the law, and nothing is going to give him out of the law.
Right.
And he's wandering around. He goes to get something to eat. He could barely eat at a priest's house. And in the middle of the night, he gets up and he steals the silverware, and he walks out. Well, the police catch this guy, which is obviously a convict, with a bunch of silverware, and they think they know where he got him. They bring him back to the priest's house, and the priest says, "Oh, Mr. Policeman, don't worry. It's okay. Jean Valjean, how did you leave without taking the best things?" And he hands him two candlesticks. The police say, "Okay, go away." And he says, "With this action, I have bought your soul for God." And then we see down there, he takes care of a young girl. He makes right with a woman that he kicked out of. He becomes the mayor of Big Town. He makes good and becomes a mayor and is all altruistic, trying to do good things. It's just a phenomenal story. Just a huge.
What's the name
epic.
Of it again?
Les Miserables. It's Victor Hugo. The novel is just as good, and the movie was pretty good, too.
Yeah, if an average American sees what you've described on a marquee, how is he or she going to say it?
Les Miserables.
That's Les what I miserables. Called it all these years.
That's exactly. Now, well, we were parking attendant said, "What are you guys doing? Are you guys going to Les Miserables?"
Yes, Les Miserables.
No, we're going to more.
Are you serious? That's
yeah.
what he said.
Yeah. No, actually, we're going to more Miserables.
Yeah, right.
That's right down the street.
Nicely played.
Such a redemptive story.
All right, next, what's your first?
All right. I'm going to take us to London, England, where I'm going to let – there's a newscaster who has a story out of – this is a British newscaster out of the British press, and I'm not even going to set it up. I'm just going to let this newscaster tell you the story. Cut 15.
A toddler was suspended from a nursery after they were accused of being transphobic or homophobic. I just cannot believe this. The Department of Education data revealed the child is either 3 or 4 years old. AD of E, a Department of Education spokesman, said all pupils and staff should feel safe. I can't believe I'm reading this. Should feel safe and protected at school and should never face violence or abuse. The Education Secretary has been clear that she expects school leaders to enforce good behaviour, and we are committed to a comprehensive programme of behaviour to support all school four schools.
The UK is hitting crazy levels.
They're getting there, huh?
In Ireland, what's the Conor McGregor? It was
the MMA guy.
MMA guy. Yeah. He's trying to run for mayor of a city in
Dublin
Ireland.
Or something.
Maybe it's Dublin. And Parliament is on the verge of declaring his candidacy, going to revoke his ability to run because of his views on immigration. Because Conor McGregor is about
He's the Donald Trump of Ireland.
And so and it looks like Parliament's on the verge of saying, no, you can't even run for mayor because your views are illegitimate views. And then this, a toddler kicked out of nursery after being accused of being transphobic.
I don't know what the toddler could have done that was possibly transphobic. But along the same lines, the number one conservative populist candidate in the French country, Marie Le Pen, a court has sentenced her for 2 years, and let's see, I got the and she's fined, and she's gonna be in jail for 2 years. And it's another one of those lawfare things, like
yes,
they did with Donald Trump. They concocted some charges,
right?
I'm gonna be talking with Jenna Ellis about this in a little after.
Listen, if Donald Trump had not won in 2024, we'd be heading towards this.
Yeah,
what we're talking about. And I guess Europe is going to have to burn before they wake up, because I'm seeing pictures, London, Paris. I saw photographs over the weekend in Italy of Muslims taking up entire streets and marketplaces and doing their prayers.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to end very badly for Europe, with that continent being burned to the ground, and there's going to be civil war, and it's just, it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Y'all know that I spent time with my parents on the mission field. And
Madagascar.
Madagascar. And we spent a year in France learning French, and I was about 9 years old, but I still picked up on the conversations they were having. And even in 1969, the story was that the church in Europe was gone. It was asleep. It was irrelevant. And all this time, I don't think it's ever really come out of it. And to your point about Muslims in England, next story. Did any of you guys, Brent, maybe you have daughters? Did any of you go down the trail of using these American Girl dolls? You know what that is?
Yes, I do. And I think my daughter had one. I think my granddaughter has a couple.
Basically,
they're very popular.
Yeah, they were, or maybe they still are. Basically, they're little dolls, and they come with a storybook, and there's one from the Revolution, and there's one from different periods
of time.
Yeah,
my daughter, who's now in her mid-30s, right, she had them back in...
Right.
Yeah.
Very popular. T-sets, the whole bit.
Right.
Well, I want you to hear the latest from American Girl's doll, cut 14.
All sorts of foods during Eid al-Fitr. Eid Mubarak to you and yours. Today, I'm going to make some baklava to celebrate Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr is a feast that's celebrated by Muslims worldwide. It celebrates the end of Ramadan, when we fast for a month from dawn to sunset. The feast starts at sunset on the night when we first see the crescent moon. We eat all sorts of foods during Eid al-Fitr, but baklava is my favorite. Muslims in different countries each have their own traditions. Many dress in new clothes to represent renewal. Others decorate their houses with lanterns, and gifts are given to children by their relatives. It's ready. Happy Eid al-Fitr. Ooh, too soon. Still hot. Eid Mubarak to you and yours.
I didn't trim that well, but... American girl teaching our young girls how to celebrate Ramadan. I looked. I could not find a single American girl doll whose story revolved around Christmas or Easter.
Look, I tried to bend over backwards to respect all religions. By that, I mean the fact that people do believe different things about God, okay? I don't respect their actual views because I'm a Christian. And as a Christian, I would view Islam as a false religion, just like Hinduism, and they look at Christianity the same way, right? But I don't understand the mindset of members of the West, people of the West, from a Christian heritage. I do not understand why they are bending over backwards to welcome and support a religion that wants to overthrow the very values and democratic and republican systems that undergird Western civilization.
They're going to say not all Muslims are like that.
But Islam is.
I'll tell you what the real
Islam
reason is,
Islam teaches
though.
It.
Huh? I'll tell you two real reasons. That's what they're going to say. You're right, Tim. The real reasons are, number one, they think the West is corrupt and they want to destroy the West. This is what the whole left part of the Democrat Party is doing. They want socialism. They want to tear down. You took a look at the Antifa people and everything. They want to tear it down and then rebuild it in a different image.
Yeah.
The other reason that it works is because they're demonic.
Yeah. Yes. We're going to get into different teachings of religion right now, which Christianity teaches false religions are demonic. Now, as far as the American Girl company is concerned, I don't know if they released a statement on this. My guess is they're just sort of into PC and political correctness, and they're wanting to demonstrate that by having this virtue signaling for the Muslims and their holiday of Ramadan. But the American Girl, I don't know if they still are, but they were hugely popular there for about 20 years. They're dolls, what they are. They're dolls. And
And they've crafted a narrative around each doll, which the child learns about history or whatever. So
Islam and Islamic leaders, and to your point, Tim, yes, probably most Muslims don't buy into what these Muslim leaders are teaching, okay?
But or what the religion itself technically or legalistically, is the right word?
But
letter of the law teaches,
yes, but Muslim leaders are going to, they are planning to and are using the freedom of religion that exists in Western countries to eventually lead to a takeover of the political system, and then freedom of religion will disappear. That is the plan out of their own mouths. Islamic leaders worldwide, that is their plan. They are using the freedoms granted in the West to eventually get rid of religious freedom when they politically take over.
Unless something drastically changes, Europe will fall to Islam in the next 50 years. Maybe sooner.
Yes.
Just by the sheer numbers, because the Muslims from North Africa and the Middle East have immigrated into European countries. I've mentioned this before. Europeans are not having children. Native Europeans I'm talking about are not having children. Their birth rate is like one, not even replacement.
No.
And so the Muslims, on the other hand, are having 4, 5, 6 kids. Well, how long does that take you?
Right.
You do that math. How long is that?
Generations. That's it. Couple generations.
Well, the Muslims are already 10% of France. 10% of France are Muslims. You get to 20, 25, 30, they will overthrow the potentially. Now, it would depend on whether those Muslims are what you would call fundamentalist or whether they're secularist. In other words, they don't really follow the Islamic religion, and they like European Western values. Yeah. Go ahead.
The mayor of London is Muslim.
Right.
And he got there because London has a huge Muslim population.
Yeah.
So
and
they
didn't
overthrow anything except with the vote. This is a known strategy of the Muslim faith, and it's called jihad. Not all jihad is violent. This is the jihad by population, like by family. You take over a country with numbers, and they don't have to necessarily blow things up if they elect the right people. And then we're seeing in Minnesota and other places these no-go zones where they're actually living under Sharia law.
Yeah, but why is the West, why are so many leaders in the West fooled by this? That's what I don't understand. Is it just, it's hard for me to put it into words. Why don't they see the danger?
Because, did I interrupt you?
No, that's the question.
Because they have a greater fear of being called a racist or an Islamophobe than they do of acknowledging and looking truthfully at what the teaching is of Islam is with respect to taking over regions or areas or other lands. I mean,
that has to be the answer.
They would say, "Oh, you guys are overstating it. They're not going to take over. Integrate into our society and be a part of who we are. Western society. We're a democracy. We're made up of different faiths. So they wouldn't acknowledge the fundamental the history of Islam,
right,
or the teachings of Islam. They wouldn't acknowledge that as it being anything, being a problem or incompatible with Western values.
There is ample evidence that Muslims, when they move into a country, are not interested in assimilation.
Right. It's just frightening. I feel bad for Europe because disaster. We have our own disasters looming. But nothing like what's looming for Europe.
But the question that this is a sociological, this is a
sociological.
Yeah, that. Yeah. It's that. classroom discussion. Yeah. Okay. But it does merit discussion because it is happening at a very fast rate, especially in Europe. And I would say, do most of the people who are immigrating to Europe, which would be considered the Christian land, Europe is not Christian any longer to a large extent in terms of active people participating in church and things of that nature, but the history of Europe is Christian if you were to ask anybody what is the history. But my question would be, are these immigrants who are coming from the Middle East and coming from North Africa in particular into Europe, are they trying to escape oppression and poverty themselves caused by turmoil or religious factions fighting each other, and they really do want to just, they're trying to escape so that they can live in peace, or they can have the chance of prosperity, or are they coming to take over the land eventually?
I think
and make it like the Middle East and make it like North Africa.
I'd say just initially it's probably 80-20, 80% wanting to come to escape the turmoil,
right?
20% coming because they're on jihad. But once that 80% gets set up in their cities, and I forget, I think it's a half dozen cities in the UK, the mayors are Muslim.
Okay? Yeah.
And so once they get established, they go, you know what? We're Muslims, and we're going to do what Muslims do.
And now we can make Christian worship illegal.
Yes, and they're going to hear imams preaching in mosques who are saying, if you're going to be a true Muslim,
right,
you've got to do X, Y, and Z. Right.
And everybody's going to be hearing the calls to prayer from.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. It's really I'm just saying, it's just stunning. I know we need to move on. It's just stunning that so many Christians fought to keep Europe free from invasion by armies and navies from Muslim leaders, and now they're just opening the doors, letting them walk in.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, and Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Let's do something more positive, shall we?
Okay.
Amen. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I want to introduce you to Lex Rennick and...
Lex?
Lex Rennick and her husband, Nick Rennick.
He owes me $7.
Well,
wasn't he the villain in the Superman?
He was, Lex.
Lex Luthor.
Lex Rennick. So, Lex was born a woman, mm-hmm. and she lived as a transgender. She decided she was transgender, so she lived like a man for 14 years. During that time, she met Nick, who was a man identifying as gay.
This does get confusing.
It does.
Stick with
it. So a woman, transgender, pretending to be a man, marries a gay man, pretending to be a gay man. And for 14 years, they lived this life. And then they found Christ. And I want to let you hear from Lex. This is a story that, this is a great story. And we listen to, you got it? Cut, whatever it is.
Ideology away from our children. I think that it's a very dangerous topic to expose our kids to this. Well, hi, my name's Lex Rennick. I'm an influencer online, and I get the privilege and honor of traveling and sharing the good news of Jesus and talking about my testimony from transgender to transformed. As a parent, my husband and I have realized that you need to be the one to start the conversation. Don't let the world start the conversation, because the world's gonna tell them, you know, opposite of what the Word of God says. And you know what, ultimately that's really scary, even for a parent to hear, like, if you don't do this, your kid's gonna, you know, have suicidal thoughts, etc. It is so important that as a parent, instead of running from this conversation, because even sometimes the church runs from the conversation, start it with biblical grace and biblical truth, that like God doesn't make a mistake and he loves his children, and he loves us enough not to create us to be put into bondage or to be put in these boxes.
Wow! Change, how awesome!
Change is possible. You can, the Holy Spirit can change any life, bring from death to life.
Yeah, in His image, our video, our movie, our documentary fits in right with what she's talking about here.
It does indeed.
In His Image .movie is yes. where to go watch it.
Yeah, and you can watch it for free, folks.
Yeah.
It's very powerful, very compassionate, and what Lex Rennick was saying, what she has said, is that she was told that because, she said, I wish someone had just told me it was okay to be a tomboy. But because I was a tomboy, they told me I was really a boy. And she said that ideology influenced her as a little kid. And she said, that needs to stop. You need to stop pushing kids to think they are the opposite of what their bodies are, and make room for a girl to like to play football if she wants, or a boy to like to play the piano instead of playing football, instead of telling them they're in the wrong body.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Amen.
Thanks, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Fred Jackson and Brent Creeley, our producer. And thank you for listening to American Family Radio. We hope you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.